I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John, the little tiny letter all the way in the back. We'll start there. Father, as we open your word together, would you be so kind as to meet us here? Our desire is to see you, to know you, to spend time in your presence, listening to your voice. So Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts, open our minds to receive more of you. That we may give Jesus, you, all the glory that you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at these Advent Sundays, Christmas in the creeds, what ancient creeds tell us about the incarnation, about who Jesus is. Remember, these ancient statements of faith, they're not our ultimate authority. Only the Bible is that. Creeds are man-made and therefore fallible. We must evaluate any belief in light of the God-breathed, without error, scriptures. But keep in mind that false teachers used and still use the Bible to teach and defend their false teachings. Creeds were developed in response to false teachings. So we ignore the creeds to our own harm. If we find ourselves believing contrary to what the creeds teach, we ought with caution and humility to check ourselves against the whole teaching of God's Word. So far, we've looked at the Apostles' Creed, which affirms what the Bible says about the virgin birth, the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We looked at the Nicene Creed, which defends Jesus' own claims to be the I Am, eternal Yahweh God of the Old Testament, one in essence, one in nature with his Father, fully God, against the false teaching that Jesus was created and that there was a time when he was not. The Athanasian Creed expands, clarifies how Nicaea understood the teaching throughout the Bible that there is only one God, and that the Father claims to be God. Jesus claims to be God. The Spirit throughout is clearly portrayed as God, personal. And yet Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct personalities who communicate with one another. The triune God is the one God that exists eternally in the persons of Father, Son, and Spirit, who eternally enjoy relationship with one another. It may be helpful to clarify that when we talk about God, there is one what and three whos. If we ask, what is God? We could answer, God is the only sovereign, omnipotent, eternal, unequaled being in all of the universe. That's what God is. If we ask who is God, we answer God has revealed himself through his word in the persons of Father, Son, and Spirit, in eternal relationship with one another. One what, three whos. And the wonder of the incarnation is that Jesus became human in order to adopt us into this love relationship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at and be amazed by another wonder of the Incarnation. First John talks about seeing the Word. Think about that. I'm speaking words. I mean, there, yes, some of them are on the screen, so you can see the word. How do you see a word? John talks about seeing the word of life, being an eyewitness of the eternal life that was from the beginning, that was with the Father and thus distinct from the Father, the word that was made manifest, became seeable, became touchable. This life is eternal. It was from the beginning, and thus it had no beginning. The Word is personal, capable of being with the Father in relationship, as a son has fellowship with his Father. This echoes how John starts his gospel. Spoiler alert, he's talking about Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word already existed in the beginning. The Word was distinct from God in relationship with God. Both God and the Word are personal, capable of being with one another. These "with" phrases answer the question, who? Who is the Word? The Word is a Him, personal, existing in relationship with God. In this phrase, God also answers the question, who? God and the Word are both whos, who can be said to be with one another. And the Word was God. This answers the question, what? What is the Word? The Word is God. The nature of the Word is divine. His characteristics, His attributes are that of the one true God. John's "in the beginning" language is an echo back to Genesis 1, where God created by His Spirit through His Word. God spoke, and John tells us that the Word of God is personal. The Word is a He, not an it. John's Gospel and 1 John both name this eternal Word of life as His Son, Jesus Christ, in fellowship with the Father. Just so we can't misunderstand, John clarifies his own role as that of one who would prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. As the Pharisees ask, are you the Messiah? Are you the coming one? Are you the one that we expect? John says, no. Well, then what's this all about? Who are you? The Pharisees asked. John said, John the Baptist, John 1:23, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John's referring to Isaiah 40:3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. There's no mistaking what John is saying. He's quoting Isaiah 40, talking about the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for Yahweh God to come down. And he says, that's me. And that's him. Yahweh God in the flesh come down for our salvation. Jesus clearly understood to be Yahweh God in the flesh. What is God? The infinite, eternal, unchanging, all-seeing, holy, perfect, unlimited, all-knowing, righteous, good, just, gracious being. Who is God? God is Father, Son, Spirit, in the eternal overflowing joy of relationship, loving and serving and delighting in one another. God is one what, three whos. But how do we understand Jesus? What happened at the incarnation? Here's what John's gospel says about that. John 1, verse 14. This word who was with God in the beginning, who was himself God, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became. But we learned at the beginning the word already was. What was the word? The word was God. What did the word become? The word became flesh. God is spirit. God became man. The word dwelt, literally tabernacled, set up his tent among us. The word was something he always was, and the word became something he had never been before. Does this mean the divine word changed? Hebrews 13 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6, I, Yahweh, do not change. The church has always been forced to clarify and more carefully articulate what we believe when confronted with false teaching. Apollinaris, Bishop of Laodicea, taught that in the incarnation, the divine mind or spirit took on a human body. According to this false teaching, the immaterial part of Jesus was God. The material part of Jesus was human. But that would mean that Jesus is neither fully God nor truly man. Eutyches, leader of a monastery in Constantinople, taught that the human nature of Jesus was absorbed up into the divine nature so that Jesus became a third kind of nature. Again, neither fully God nor truly man. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says this, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For Jesus to be a proper mediator, he must have become truly human. Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews chapter 2, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he has to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The incarnation has everything to do with our salvation. For Jesus to legitimately give himself in our place, he had to become authentically human. He had to be one of us. He became like us in every respect, yet without sin. Jesus was not an angel. He did not become an angel to rescue angels who sinned. He became human, really, truly, fully human, to make propitiation for our sins by the sacrifice of himself. For Jesus to mediate between God and man and bridge the infinite chasm that our sin created, for his sacrifice to be of infinite worth, he must be infinite God. The eternal Word did not cease to be God, but he became what he had not been before. He became truly human. The Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD was the largest council to date, over 520 bishops or their representatives in attendance to respond to these false teachings that were circulating about Jesus and the Incarnation. They affirmed, first of all, the Nicene Creed from 325, the additions made to that creed in Constantinople in 381 as accurate summaries of Christian teaching. And they formed what is now known as the Chalcedonian Definition, which articulates what the Bible teaches about who Jesus is. Here's the definition part of their statement. Following then, the Holy Fathers, we all unanimously teach that our Lord Jesus Christ is to us one and the same Son, the self-same, perfect in Godhead, the self-same, perfect in manhood, truly God, truly man, the self-same of a rational soul and body, co-essential with the Father according to the Godhead, the self-same co-essential with us according to the manhood, like us in all things, sin apart, before the ages begotten of the Father as to the Godhead, but in the last days, the self-same for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Theotokos, or Mother of God, as to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, acknowledged in two natures, unconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably. The difference of the natures being in no way removed because of the union, but rather the properties of each nature being preserved, and both concurring into one person and one hypostasis or existence. Not as though he were parted or divided into two persons, but one and the self-same Son and only begotten. God, Word, Lord, Jesus Christ, even as from the beginning the prophets have taught concerning him, and as the Lord Jesus Christ himself hath taught us, and as the symbol of the fathers hath handed down to us. Chalcedon helps put together for us the data that that Jesus is eternally, fully God, and that he became truly human at his incarnation, and that these two natures, human and divine, were not changed or diluted or confused by their union into one person, yet these two natures were indeed united in the person of Jesus at the incarnation in such a way that they are now indivisible, inseparable. Jesus is one person. The incarnation means that God became man in such a way that remaining what he was, he became what he was not. Philippians 2 describes the incarnation this way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus, eternally in the form of God, equal to his Father, emptied himself. How? By subtraction? By becoming less? No, by taking. His emptying was that not of subtraction, but of addition. Unchangeably God, he took to himself the additional nature, the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men, found in human form. Now, both fully God and truly man, one person with two distinct natures, unconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably. Augustine wonders at the mystery of the incarnation. The maker of man became man, that he, ruler of the stars, might be nourished at the breast, that he, the bread, might be hungry, that he, the fountain, might thirst, that he, the light, might sleep, that he, the way, might be wearied by the journey, that he, the truth, might be accused by false witnesses, that he, the judge of the living and the dead, might be brought to trial by a mortal judge, that he, justice, might be condemned by the unjust, that he, discipline, might be scourged with whips, that he, the foundation, might be suspended upon a cross, that courage might be weakened, that security might be wounded, that life might die. The Word became flesh so that the immaterial could be nailed to a cross, so that the immortal God could die for my sins. Consider this. Jesus humbled himself by taking to himself our own human nature. He was born as a human, lived a human life, died an excruciating human death, rose again as truly human, ascended to the right hand of his Father. Today, there is a man, the God-man, seated on the throne of glory, who always lives to make intercession for us. Let's pray. Holy Father, let us never cease to be amazed at the incarnation. The true God, second person of the triune God, would take to himself our nature, become one of us, enter into our mess, in order to rescue us, for us and for our salvation. So that as man, Jesus, you could become the last Adam, the greater representative that stood in our place, took the punishment we deserve, so we can enjoy the life you deserve. You invited us in to the relationship of the triune God, adopted into the love that you enjoy with your Father and with the Spirit. You made a way through your own blood. Lord, help us never to cease to be amazed, to worship you as you deserve. Fill our hearts to overflowing with joy in our relationship with you, with wonder at who you are. Almighty God, come down, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, thank you. It's in your mighty name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. I invite some of our men to come and prepare to serve communion. This entering in, this fellowship we have with the Father and with His Son, with the Holy Spirit. Enjoying relationship. Blood-bought relationship. We have been invited in. There was no hope. There was no access. In the garden, because of our rebellion, we were kicked out. And the way was barred to fellowship with God. Our sins have made a separation between us and our God. Jesus came to be that mediator, to bridge the gap between God and man. I've heard it said that a Jesus who is not fully God is a bridge broken at the far end. A Jesus who is not truly human is a bridge broken at the near end. Jesus, two natures, one person, fully God, fully man, in order to be our mediator, to bring us back into relationship with a God who loves us. That's the gospel we cherish, we celebrate, we worship Him. We have bread and juice, reminders of Jesus' real, tangible, physical, human body, broken, torn for our sins. The juice reminds us of His human blood that flowed through His veins, that poured out at the cross to wash our sins away. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If you're a believer in that Jesus, I'd invite you to take bread, juice, hold it, reflect on who He is, why He came, what He came to do. Worship Him. Once we've all been served as the body of believers in Jesus, we'll take that together and worship Him. Jesus, what wonder. We hold in our hands bread and juice. You said to doubting Thomas, here, put your fingers in the holes, the scars left by the nails. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. You were no ghost, no apparition, no immaterial. Truly human flesh and blood. One of us. So that as human you could pay my price, be my substitute, take my place. bear your Father's wrath toward my sin as you hung between heaven and earth, suspended by nails. It's why you came. Thank you, Jesus. Our finite minds can't wrap around what that meant, what it cost you, what you did, but we come today to the foot of the cross. We come to the manger. We say thank you. We worship you, and we receive eternal life from your hand. His body broken for you, take and eat. His blood poured out for you. Drink and live.